Praise God. I'm excited to be able to minister. I'm excited to be in the pulpit again tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God's got good things for us. So I hope you come expecting tonight because we need to get into those things. Amen. Now, today's message, you know, I got kind of announced last week that I was kind of done with being led by the Spirit. But really, I'm kind of not. Amen. So even though we kind of finished the bulk of what I thought I was doing, this message really goes along with it. Today's message is called To Be Continued. Praise the Lord. And we are literally, and I didn't even think about it in terms of the last few messages that I've been preaching, but it's good. It matches up pretty well, right? But really what we're going to be talking about today is life. Amen. And so we had a lot of what the Spirit is and what the Spirit isn't and what being led is and what being led isn't, you know. And I hope that at least got across to you somewhat that being difficult, that being led is an easy thing to do. But being led, one of the main things we have to understand about being led is that we're not led according to our thoughts. We're not led according to our ideas, but according to God's thoughts and God's ideas. And that's really, this message today is really going to tap into that, you know. This is a key component, although I didn't see it before as part of this I've been doing. I certainly believe that tonight. Amen. And so as we come to the Word tonight, expecting, believing God to get all that He wants for us to get. We are going to be going to some familiar scriptures, but you know, I say that as much for me as I do for you, because it always seems weird to me when I have to go to the same scriptures again and again, but there's just good stuff in them, so we're going to do that. Amen? So we're going to be talking again, to be continued, life in the Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we're going to start in John 8:31. Amen. Kind of a scripture we like around this play parts. At least I like it. My wife likes it, and hope that you're getting on board with it. And we're even reading it in a different version, a different amen. Glory to God. So we're so thankful for the differences and the different understandings. But we are going to tap into a part of it, I believe, that we haven't before, or maybe not like this. Amen. It says here, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue, then you are truly disciples of mine. Yeah. Amen. If you continue my word, you are truly disciples of mine. We know that disciple means that you are a learner, you know, and one of the reasons that this scripture is because that's exactly what being a Christian is. Being a Christian means being a follower of Christ. And so you can't be a follower of someone if you're not a disciple of them. Amen? Yeah, you have to be a disciple in order to follow. And so we know that Jesus was pointing out the importance of that. But what we're focusing tonight on, the part of the scripture we're focusing on, is kind of in the middle part. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's where it says he was saying to those Jews who had believed him. And I can't even remember what the other one says. Those Jews who believe is what it says. New King James Version probably says something similar in the King James Version. But I love, and this is really saying the same thing, but I love the way that it's worded.
Yeah.
Because it says those who had believed him. And it brings the idea, and that's really how I, you know, sometimes when you look at a different angle, you're going to see a different aspect of it.
Yeah.
The other night, my wife and I, when we were on our way to Corey, we were driving, you know, the same road we drive every week, and we've driven every week for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
And as we were driving down the road, my wife said, oh, did they just build that? And I was like, or did they just side that, change the side of the color of that house or whatever? It's been that color right along. She goes, I guess maybe we're always looking out the other window. You're usually looking out the other window. And that's exactly what happened, is usually we were looking out the other way because there's a nicer house on the other side, or at least for me, it's a house that I like to look at more. And so that's what I do. I kind of look out that way. But we saw one, we saw another direction. We saw another side. And so the same thing as when we look at the Word, this is why it's important to stay open to the Word. You know, I've been learning as I've been seeking God for more truth, glory to God, not, I haven't been seeking Him for truth, but I'm seeking Him for more truth, amen.
Yeah.
And finding is that we can very easily get into a place of, this is the scripture, know it, and so this is what I believe about it, which there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is that if you just think your way is, or what you believe is right, right? In the sense of your viewpoint on, and I guess it would be more in scriptures that could be have varying viewpoints. You're going to be closed off to seeing things that God wants to show you. You know, I believe this when the Lord gives us scriptures that are right up front, tell us what is going on, you know, when we have to dig in deeper. I believe wholeheartedly that he did that on purpose. Amen. And so here I'm just looking at it from a different viewpoint, and I see something, and it spoke to me this afternoon as I was preparing. But it says, who had believed him. So we understand that the Jews he was talking to, he was ministering to some Jews that already believed him. They had believed what he was saying. But Jesus brings up the point that it's not enough to have believed, to have had believed, but you must continue on in the belief. And the way that he says, you know, it says he was talking to those who had believed, if you continue in my word. So how do we continue on in belief? We continue on through his word. Yeah. Now, you might think, what does this necessarily have to do with being spirit led? Well, we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But we have to understand this, that continuing in God's word is the of utmost importance. It is very easy as religious people to get religious about things. You know, we get religious about things and we get in our tradition, our way of doing things. You know, when we come to church, we probably come the similar way that we usually do. You know what I mean? We wear the similar clothes that we wear. We come through the same door and we come in and we sit probably even in the same place and or pretty close to it. Amen. In fact, so much so that if we can't sit in that place, set because that there's a little bit of that that goes on. But you know, it's real easy to get stale in your religion. It's really easy to think that you know it all and to get to a place where you're stuck. And but God's word has called us, his spirit calls us to continue on with him. That it's not enough to just get to a place. The reason I brought that up is because a lot of times we'll things, you know, we might think that we have a relationship with God because we serve a local church or because we do this or we do that. Oh, even me as a pastor, I could think that I have a relationship with God because I pastor churches. But that doesn't, just because I pastor churches, doesn't make equate to a relationship with the Lord. What equates to a relationship with the Lord is when you continue on with him. Amen. Now, if I just disappeared for a couple years, came back one day and knocked on the doors. If nothing had gone wrong, nothing was wrong. I was just like, hey, what's going on? Probably knock on the door because the doors locks had been changed by then. And I just said, hey, what's going on? And I find another guy abiding in my place. Could I be upset by that? No, because I haven't had, but wait a minute, we're married though. Yeah, but we haven't had the relationship. And see, the same thing is with God. Like I, you know, having a relationship with the Lord is not coming to church. It's not serving in the local church. Those are things we do because of our relationship. It isn't tithing. It isn't giving. That's not having a relationship with God. We do those things because of a relationship with him. In fact, the only time those things get stale is when we don't have a relationship. Being spirit-led is one of the key parts of having a relationship with God. Praise the Lord. That means spending time with him. These things are incredible. Amen. I've been finding more and more, you know, I've been looking for the key, the answer to life. How do I get hungry, stay hungry, and not lose that hunger? Amen. How do I get to that place? And maybe some of you have looked for that key too. I'm going to tell you, I found it. That's what it's continuing. It's not that you started, because starting doesn't matter if you don't finish. Right. Praise the Lord. They have races around here a couple times a year in this area. I don't know why anybody would want to do it, but they do. And people go for their run and everything. But what about the people that just get halfway through? Participation prize. Why? Because they didn't really started, but starting and not finishing is not participation. Right. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's so many areas I could go in this. but I'm not going to tonight. But I'm seeing stuff at any rate, and that's good. But we could really apply this to a lot of areas of our life, couldn't we?
Yeah.
To continue in faith is to keep going.
Yeah.
Faith is not quitting. Faith is not backing away.
Right.
Faith is not, when the stakes get hard or high, that we back away from it, but it's continuing. Amen? And that's exactly what Jesus was saying, and he was telling the Jews, but it should be a warning to us that unless continue on with God, unless we have that relationship. About leaving my house for a few years, I couldn't be surprised by it. Yet so many Christians are surprised when they don't know what's going on with God, when they don't have a relationship with him. But Lord, I did all these things. And of course, we see that in the book where Jesus was talking to the Jews then, and he will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we, we cast out demons in your name. We did all things. There's a process to the things that they did, but it wasn't having a relationship. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. And now you don't have to necessarily be afraid of this, because it's not, a matter of do I have a relationship with God? I mean, I know I come to church, but if you have a relationship with him. And so the key that I found, I started talking to you about the key that I found, is this. I have to continue. I've learned this, that if I can start my morning off with hours, literally, sometimes they do that. And I can start my day off like that. And then by the afternoon, because after some time in the morning, decide to start my day and I start going to do something else and get distracted. I'm just out there doing the day. And then by the end of the day, I don't feel like I spent any of that time. In the beginning, I was getting this wonderful revelation, and it seemed like there was this open door, and the Spirit was flowing, and there was all these things. And why? Because I was continuing with God. I was with God in that time. And see, it's the same thing in marriage. If my wife way to somewhere else, and when she comes home, I don't know what's happening. Usually she starts filling me in on what's happened. And some days it's a good day, some days it's a bad day. I don't know what's going on with her until she fills me in on it. Well, the same thing is with God. If our relationship with God is just touching it here for a little while, but not continuing, then it's not a really great relationship, is it? Now, I know what some of you are thinking, and some of you are getting a little bit stressed maybe, because you're starting to think, well, I just don't have time to spend hours in the morning and then hours in the afternoon and then hours in the evening. Most people don't. Actually, if you're going to live any kind of life where you do for the Lord, you're probably not going to have that. But it doesn't take during the winter months, see each other a lot less than we do in the summer months because of work schedules and different things like that, but we still have a relationship.
Yeah.
My wife and I, when I travel, if I go somewhere and I'm in a completely different area, we still have a relationship because I don't forget that I'm married. She doesn't forget that she's married. That when we may be hours apart, but then we'll come together and we'll talk about, what's happened and stuff like that. And really that we have to do with the Lord is that hearts and our minds focus toward heaven. And how do we do that? The key is this: make ourselves do it. We take the time. We have a thought, and then we direct it towards him. I was stressing about something. Can't even remember what it was now, but I was stressing about something, and then all of a sudden the came that I didn't, that God has not given me a spirit of fear. And really, if you're stressing, that's all. And so I didn't even rebuke the thought so much as I recognized the truth. What is recognizing the truth? Well, how is different? I'm not saying it's wrong to rebuke a thought, but I'm saying I didn't have to because I recognized the truth. See, the Jews here, they recognized that what Jesus was saying, but Jesus said it's not enough that you recognize it, you must continue on. Amen. So when I think about the scriptures, at least for today's message, we need to think of it in terms of and do continue. We have believed, and we do continue. That's how we should approach our life, our Christian walk. If we want to be Spirit-led, the only way we want to be Spirit-led is if we have believed and do continue. Folks, I'm telling you this, I can't stress this enough. Have believe, do continue. This is why we have to get ourselves out of religious rut. This is why the Lord has been dealing with me about how we pray and even pray for meals. You know, I've said this many times. I'm going to say it again for the benefit of what I've been talking about. And it's really more understanding for me as well. But as we pray for food, we realize that we were just praying the same prayer over and over. And it was so ingrained in us, we just said it. We didn't even really think about it. We didn't think about what we were doing. We made it a religious act. And what the Lord dealt with me with is that doesn't sanctify food any more than it does if I have belief in it. See, what sanctifies it is the belief. It's the truth. What sanctifies us is our belief. It's the truth. That we call ourselves Christians. It's not that we came from a certain kind of family, but it's that we continue with the thing which we originally believed. Why do Christians get stale? Because they don't continue on what they originally believed. I never thought in a million years that I would spend this much time on this scripture. But I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. And it's the principle that Jesus was trying to get over to the Jews and also to us. We have to continue with our belief, and it's not hard. When Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift, I mean, you could really look at it this way. How do we do that? We stir up the truth.
Yeah.
You know, when we're seeing something that's right in life, what is true confession? True confession is not just saying over and over and over really believe. We had a while where people were confession copping in the churches, what we call confession copping. Would say something that was slightly off, and someone would say, "Oh, you said that." Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something here, and I'm going to break one of religious superstitions. If everything that I say good doesn't happen instantly, then everything I say bad also isn't going to happen instantly. Amen. We just broke that superstition stick. Amen? If everything I say good doesn't happen instantly, then everything I say bad isn't either. But really, when the Bible speaks about confession, what it talks about is we speak from a place of belief. Because when we speak from a place of belief, then there's power in it. In fact, we know this according to the Bible, that the only saving power is speaking according to what. And so if you confess the Lord Jesus, it wasn't the thief on the cross, it wasn't what that went to heaven with Jesus. It wasn't what he did that mattered, it was what he said from what he believed. And the other one that ended up in hell, the same thing, it wasn't what he did that mattered, it was what he said from what he believed. Amen? We have believe, we do continue. To continue means to remain, to be held or kept continually. Be held continually. I love that. When I look at or kept continually, that's literally what it means, to continue. So it means to be held or to kept continually. How do we continue? We hold to God's word continually. We hold to his spirit continually. We hold to his truth continually. The only way you will get over opposition, let me say this again, because I think I didn't say it clear enough. The only way you will get over any opposition. Now, what do you mean by any opposition? I mean all opposition. The only way you get over any opposition is to continue in the truth. The only way. We can look at a situation, had many, thinking about one today, situation that I didn't cause. I did everything to alleviate. I did everything to stop it. I couldn't do anything to do with me. And as a result, I got to suffer, and not just twice, but I got to suffer on a few things. Quite a few things, actually. Quite a few things I lost. And it had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Was that fair?
No.
Fair. But it happens to all of us. It's to us that matters. It's what we do with what happens to us.
Yeah.
How we look at it. We can look at it and say, this is a terrible situation. There's no good answer. Except for continuing on in the truth. I mean, have you ever been to a place where you're like, all I can do is continue on in the truth and I don't even want to do that?
Yeah.
But what do you do? Well, what do you want? What do you want the answer to be? What do you want the outcome to be? If you want victory, it's sometimes for a Christian, as you get to a place, and well, at least we look at it. I'm actually going to open your eyes to something here in a second. It looks like it's tough. It looks like the only decision is like not good. Have you ever been there where the only decision that you can make is just not enjoyable? It's just not good. But here's the truth. If it's a God-given decision, it is good. It does work out for us. But we have to trust that. Well, you say, how do I trust that? You continue on in His Word. You continue on in the truth. If you won't continue in the truth, I can't pray enough to help you. If you won't continue on in the truth, angels in heaven can come down and change your situation. If you won't continue in the truth, Himself could come back in the flesh and would be able to do nothing to help you. This is the truth. Praise the Lord. And again, this is one of those things, I didn't plan on saying any of this, but this is how good the Spirit of God is. Amen? Praise the Lord. In John 6:63, you know the scripture, it says it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So the flesh doesn't get us anywhere. It's the Spirit does. And that's going to lead into what we talk to next. Amen? But that's important to understand. You want to know something interesting? When I was thinking of this scripture, the way, when I prepare a message, the way that I prepare usually is I have someone starting, and then from there, a scripture will be revealed to me, and then I'll go find it, and then I'll see how it comes. Lord wants to use it. Another scripture, then another scripture. And I do that until the message is complete. I don't know how other people prepare messages, but that's how God's done it in me that way. Almost just continually. That's how it pretty much always happens. But today, as I knew this was a scripture I had to go to, because I wanted to connect that, the idea of the Spirit and life, amen, and the words of God being Spirit and life. And as I was doing that, I couldn't think the scripture was. I couldn't remember where it was. I was like, and you know, because you have a lot of scriptures that go through your head. And first I thought John 17:17, but that isn't it. That one says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. I believe that's the one. And I was thinking, I couldn't think of it. And I almost went to look it up. And then all of a sudden, and I'm preaching about being Spirit led. I stopped. See, I recognized something in a second, in a split second, and I stopped and I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I knew what I needed to do as I needed to do it before the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, because He's the one that will remind us of what Jesus said. You remember that? And so I put it before the Lord and I said, Lord, what is that scripture? And instantly it was John 6:63. And I said, it couldn't be that one. And I went there and sure enough, that's where it was. Glory to God. But see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's how simple sometimes a thought, it could be one thought, just answering it from the place of, you know what I mean? The truth is the Lord will reveal to me. Now, does that mean every single scripture I can find? I don't know. You could find that out, work it out yourself. Praise the Lord. But God works, He works in a wonderful way, and it's not hard. Being Spirit-led is a daily moment-by-moment decision. Your level of freedom is directly related to your level of being Spirit-led. What happens when we get into emotions, when we get moved, when the moved by emotions? You know, I'm going to say this, and I don't know if there's anyone in here dealing with something. I almost sense that there is. But I'm going to say this because this is your answer. Your answer is exactly what I'm saying right now. Being led emotions by and by emotions, these are the things that rob from us. And if we would just learn to be led by His Spirit, and it's not hard, it's adhering to the truth. What is the truth? Things, you know, I find this in life. I've learned it. You know, I'm now 45, right? 45 now, and I've one of the things that I've learned about life is that a lot of what I thought should be isn't the way it is, and a lot of the things. You know, I would like, I was saying to my wife today, I was like, it seems like we've had nonstop rain for months, right? So we just had, the other day she said, I said, it's been raining for like a week straight. She's like, no, the other day it was. See, it's all perception. It's all perception. Because my mind was so on that thing, you know what I mean? And we've had a lot of rain this year. I mean, there's no doubt about that. A week, like beautiful weather. Amen. And so that's what I'm saying is like a lot of times our perceptions can be off a little bit, you know, but you can, it's real easy to look at your spouse or look at your neighbor and think, man, they should do it better. Look at your brother, sister in the faith and think, just do it better. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't always work that way. And so we have to be with things not working out that way. The key is not that they work out the way that we want them, and we're going to get into this some more. It's not that they work out just the way that we want them, but they work out the way they need to be worked out. In that, God blesses us. We think, we put these ideas in our mind that it has to look like X before I'm going to be happy. And the truth of the matter is, happiness is never, ever found there. It never is. It's not that a nice car couldn't make you happy, but if it's a nice car got the wrong way, it will never make you happy. But when it's a nice car that the Lord brings, even if it wasn't the one you thought you wanted, that would be a blessing to you. I found that in life, that the Lord brings me into this place so often of not having my exact desires, but things that... not just things, you know, I hate saying things because then people think I'm just talking about things, but whatever's going on in life, you know, like, I want the perfect body. I want the perfect this. I wish I was taller. I wish I was the song. Praise the Lord. It's good. And I do call her. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, a lot of things wish we had differently, I wish I could sing better. If you can't sing, I wish I could sing better. And if I wish I could get a good gig that would pay me a lot, I wish I could get famous, or, you know, I wish I could throw a football like baseball or whatever. And it's always something. And all that stuff is distraction. We have to learn this crucifying the flesh. Praise the Lord. Because our flesh is just going to want lots of things. The other day we were up, it was on Friday, doing good with our eating. We've been trying to watch our eating a little bit and how we've been eating, you know, just being more mindful of it. And we were uptown and we had been doing good for a week. And I was like, you know what? I've been wanting pizza. I wanted pizza all week. And so we were uptown. And so there's this one particular pizza that we were going to get because it was always that I wish that we, because we don't have any pizza in Mayville. Not any good place, I don't think. But it was, you know, what's that? Oh, praise the Lord. But I wanted pizza, and I wanted this pizza, got it. And what we were talking about, number one, it sat really bad. It wasn't good. I don't know if they changed ingredients or whatever, but it really tasted quite disgusting. We ate it anyways, but it tasted quite disgusting compared to what we remembered it. Amen? And so about something, crucifying our flesh, know how I connect. Bad pizza this week. What's that? We didn't crucify our flesh, but we had expectations of it, and it wasn't what, that's really, I think, where I was going with that. We had expectations of it, but it wasn't, it didn't produce what we wanted. So are we going to allow that to ruin our life? Are we going to allow, it might ruin your evening, because if it was something that wasn't good for you, you know, or something like that. But the point is that we have to be okay with not always having everything the way that we want it. Recently, I was in a situation where I had to go to a place that made, or I was put in a situation that made me very uncomfortable. And it was for an extended period of time, meaning several days, you know. And the situation, there were certain reasons that it wasn't the whole situation, certain things about it. And typically, I'm a creature of habit, and I've learned to be, you know, just a creature of, I'm a creature of habit, but creature, comfort creature. Amen. I like comfort. I like things the way that I like them, as you do too. But we've gotten to a place in life where some things can be like that for us, and that's good. You know, the Lord started dealing with me like, it's okay that your flesh is uncomfortable. It's not bad for you that your flesh is uncomfortable. It's not a bad thing sometimes to make your flesh suffer just a little bit. Sometimes it's okay to, like, if you really don't like something, sometimes if you don't really, say you don't like somebody, sometimes it's really good for you to make yourself be around them. And love on them. Why? Because it's not going to do anything for them, but it will do something for you. Amen. God wants to help. But as long as we are so bent on having what we want, the way we want it, we'll never be able to receive the help. Being spirit-led is a daily, moment-by-moment decision. Sometimes in your daily, moment-to-moment decision, the Spirit will say, no, don't do that, or the Spirit will say, yes, do that. And then you have complete clarity on doing it. One of the things that I love, you know, it's something the Lord, I just want to say this, something the Lord brought me into. And every time I start going down the road of, because I do this all the time, I probably say to my wife, at least on a weekly basis, let's sell everything off, small house somewhere, have no debt, no nothing, and not have any extra stuff, and just serve God. You know, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to live on basically nothing. I probably do this at least, I don't. But I say it because I get, you know, I just get wrapped up and I just don't want all the hoopla, the stuff, you know. I've learned that. But there's this one particular thing that I have that the Lord brought me, and it's something that every single time I go through chopping block, it's the number one thing I think about getting rid of. And then I always go through the same process. Are we creatures of habit, right? I go through the same process. What I do is I'm like, okay, I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to. What am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with the money? Well, I could give it here or give it there, but it's not going to make that big of a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I could throw it into the church, and that would be great. Don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is that what would the sacrifice be for? That's the question. And then I'm always reminded every time, the Lord gave me that. Yeah. And if the Lord gives me something, then I can have complete peace in it.
Yeah.
But see, if I strived after something, I'm going to help you here.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I didn't think, I thought I would get through this and not even have any unction. I haven't barely got even started in this and have all this unction. But praise the Lord, it's helping us. Strive for something. Listen to what I'm telling you, because this will kill a lot of issues in your life. If I am striving for something, praise the Lord, I never sure if I obtain it that it's gone. If I've strived for something, if I've made it my goal. See, you can make anything happen in life. If you want to be a millionaire, you can do it. You say, I don't know how to do it. Anybody can be a millionaire in this country. It's an absolute fact. In fact, I have a friend over there in Kansas. He told me exactly how. He said, anybody can do it. It's not even that you have to. You just have to be mindful about certain things. And there's some processes like that. But anybody could do it. You could go start a business that could be really successful. You could go scratch a lottery ticket, hit the lottery, and be an instant millionaire. But what's it going to do for you?
Right.
See, the thing is the Lord wants to bring them into our life through the leading of His Spirit if we allow Him to. But when we strive after things, the thing becomes the thing. And we have no idea if it's of God or not. We can't. See, I've often said that. You probably remember me saying it a few times, but if you really desire something, you are on earth to decide whether or not you're being led on getting it. And why is that? because your desire will always float to the surface. Not crucify the desire, will you be able to know whether or not it's God. You have to crucify the desire. This is another reason why I hate the wrong prosperity message, because what it does is it has a bunch of people chasing a bunch of stuff, and the Bible doesn't teach us to chase stuff.
Right.
It teaches us to look heavenward. It says if we love the things of the world, we can't have the things of God. And so people who are to have to do any of that, what you need to do is seek God. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take it a step further. Maybe what you have is not enough in life. I said, maybe what you have is not enough in life. Praise the Lord. And you think that what you need is to have enough. Whether it's enough money, whether it's enough food. But the problem isn't any of those things. What you need to learn is to follow God's Spirit. Things in ways that you couldn't imagine. God will always supply us if our hearts are right before Him. The only way our hearts are right before them is when we've crucified the flesh and said the flesh doesn't matter. Am I saying that Christians should not desire anything? Of course not. Of course not. We just can't make it a thing. What you do is to go before the Lord and say, if there's something you desire, to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I crucify this before you. I don't care if it's a thought. I don't care if it's a thing. I don't care if it's a way of being. I don't care if it's a job. I don't care whatever it is you desire, crucify the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Trust Him because He will bring good things into our life. Amen. Turn to Romans 8. Glory to God. Isn't it funny that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy?
Yeah.
One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, where we're chasing after the fruits of the Spirit because we want what the fruits of the Spirit are. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is follow the Spirit.
Yeah.
But you got to crucify the flesh.
Right.
You can't have both the Spirit and the flesh.
Right.
You can't. It's an impossibility. Praise the Lord. The more one is exalted, the other one will be de-exalted. Amen. So Romans 8, we're going to start in verse 1. Glory to God. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christians, why do so many Christians feel condemned? Why do so many Christians live in condemnation? Because they don't really realize what it is in Christ Jesus. They're not continuing in Him. The same God that saved you is the same one that will continually save you. If there's condemnation, it's because you aren't in Christ. I mean, you can be in Christ in the sense that you are saved, but you're not keeping there. You're not continuing in that. Remember, the continuing was not on God's part. The continuing in the faith was in the part of the ones who had believed. So if you have believed, the only way you're going to continue is if you continue. Say, I will continue. But I won't continue if I don't. That's a simple truth. If you take nothing else away from this message, if you do, you won't. If you do, you will. Amen. So he's telling us this to tell us that if there's condemnation, that it's not of God. Anyways. For the law of the life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Now this is very important here. Life that we live, this new way that we live, is according to a certain law. Listen, a law is something that is, it's a rule. The law of gravity, right? It's a law. It works a certain way. If you step out of an airplane, the law of gravity instantly takes effect. If you climb to the roof of this building and step on the edge, the law of gravity instantly takes effect. When you are a Christian, the law, the spirit of life in Christ automatically takes effect. If you continue with Him. If you continue in it. You have to continue the law. Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen? Praise the Lord. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. It's fulfilled in us. Is fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're going to get there, but this is the number one section of Scripture, probably about being Spirit-led. Yeah. We have to walk according to the flesh, and not according to the Spirit, and not to the flesh. How do we do that? By continuing in His truth. Amen. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And of course, we're talking about, at the beginning of the year, we talked about Romans 12, about renewing the mind, the importance of renewing the mind. And I said it will probably come up many times. And here we are in October, and it's again. Yep. Praise the Lord. If we don't renew our minds, we're not going to, our mind isn't going to be set in the right place. Yep. See, we have to be able to recognize when something is off in the mix, we have to be able to recognize that probably where the mind is. Yeah. Like, if I look at my wife and I start getting angry with her because of something she's doing, right? And I start being condemning about that, or you could doesn't have to be my wife, it could be with any other Christian. When I start condemning somebody, that is not God. And there's a whole bunch of feelings that will start coming with that. What sitting and it starts bothering me. There's a sense it'll bother you, but when somebody else's life, what they're doing, start and affect my life, that's because I'm not holding on with God. I'm walking in the flesh. Christians think that they're walking in the Spirit when they do certain things, but they're actually walking in the flesh. That's why these Christians, they get loudmouthed. They're just trying to faith on everybody. I'm not talking about preaching the truth. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about when we start condemning the world because they don't act like they're saved. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We have to start looking at things right. We have to get our mindset right. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and it's peace. Notice, if we don't have peace in our life, that's the first indication. If we don't have peace in a situation, number one indication, that's one indication that the mind is not set in the right place. How do we do it? Set it in the right place. Amen. For the mindset in the flesh is death, but the mindset in the Spirit is life and peace. You could say this: the mind not set in the Spirit is death. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. I can think of so many people in our church who need to be sitting in these seats right now hearing this message, and they're not hearing it. And why aren't they hearing it? Because some of them, because there was better to do. Because they didn't feel like coming out. It's a sad thing. When you realize the importance of what we do, why we do these things, why we meet together because it's convenient, we meet together because we're trying to set our minds right. These are people that want to be helped. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, I'm not telling you to condemn everybody. We don't know everybody's situation. There are some people probably watching online or who will watch. But we should make every effort where the Spirit is moving. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Pray. That's free. Why do I say all that? Am I trying to condemn people? No, absolutely not. But I'm reading this, I'm seeing people's faces, that if they would just get this, their situation would clear up. It would be all done. The problem would be all over. Do you realize we have made the job so easy? Because he gives us a thought, we take it, run with it, and that's our life now. He doesn't have to do anything else. There's a devil's... Listen, devils can't... Over a Christian, devils cannot just have their way with a Christian who is yielded to the Spirit of God. They can't have their way in a Christian who is... The only time the devil or his minions can affect you is when you're yielded to the flesh or yielded to him. It's the only time. And so if you got more devil in your life, you need less flesh in your life. Amen? Praise God. And those it's hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not able to do so. And those who are in the flesh do not please God. Amen. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Everybody say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
There's a lot of talk about being in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. You are in the Spirit if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now that word dwells is the same word that we typically see over there in John 8:31-32 when we read it in the, if you dwell, praise the Lord. That idea of dwelling is not just to live in a building, but it's occupy. That's one of the words that came up. And that's an interesting word to me. If you there's houses around, especially if you go out into the country, there's houses around that nobody lives in. And what do we say? They are unoccupied.
Yeah.
Amen? Now the Spirit comes to live inside of us, this is true. But there's a difference between living there and occupying, really occupying it. When you occupy something, you're involved in it. Amen? If you're occupied in a house, you're involved in it. It's part of, you know, it's part of your life. It's part of a person that is not yielded to the Spirit is not occupying them.
Right.
And then that's the issue. And so what we need to do is allow the Spirit to do what the Spirit wants to do, and that's occupy us. Amen?
Yeah.
We are getting somewhere. Amen? However, you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead, because the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. When you have issues in life, that is trying to produce death. When you have opposition in life, it's trying to produce death. And so if we allow the Spirit to do his thing, if we allow him to do what he wants to do, and the only way to do that is to yield ourselves to him. The only way to yield yourself to him is have to tell the flesh, I'm going to go with what God says. What does the word say? When I go with what God says, he will work out the details. Praise the Lord. And he'll bring life. So then, brethren, we are not the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then it goes on to our famous scripture. Go ahead, go to 14. You are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How is the Spirit of God leading us? He's leading us in line with his word. He applies it according to his within us. Do we receive the word of God? This is why it's so important for Christians to have a relationship with God. Number one ways you're going to have a relationship with God is to spend time reading his word, getting his word in you, getting it saturated. I said we make it easy for all the people in our churches. How do we do that? At least once a week, I preach messages. You have access to the word that will help you three times a week, as many times as you want. Put it on the board. You can go to the online and you can read that was given Sunday. The word that will be your answer on Monday. But what happens is a lot of Christians fail to do this. I often say when I was early in my life, when I came back to God, my wife and I started getting faithful in the church, and we finally started getting a life, started seeing a life that was, the word was changing our life. What I would do is every break, my first break, every Monday, it's starting on Monday the week, I would take my notes from church, go back over the scriptures, and I would reread them, and I would relearn them, and getting those scriptures in me, guess what it did? It started changing my situation. It started changing me from the inside out. It started changing the Spirit, and not according to God. Because I kept going, because I believe that God is delivering us a message. God, that we can understand that what he's delivering is the help that we have for whatever situation we have. So whatever it is we're going through, we have to learn to rely on him. That's all there is to it. I often think of this, and I'm going to share something with you. Sometimes I think I'm the most carnal pastor that exists. Sometimes I think I'm the most likely of pastors to be a pastor. In some ways, I realize why God has chosen me for it. He's chosen me because of that. When the Bible says that he makes the foolish things of the world confound the wise, that's exactly what you see in front of you. And let me explain this. Because I'm always the one to complain. I'm always the one who wants to give up. I've never been special. I've never been somebody who's driven. I'm always the one who wants to stop halfway through the project and think nothing of it if I stopped halfway. I'm always the one who wants to be lazy. I'm always the one who wants to go with what the flesh wants and go with ease. I don't know if there is a person in our church who is more so that way than me. I'm telling you the truth. You may not know me, but if you knew me from my past, I just simply went whatever felt good in the moment. And that's what got me. Praise the Lord. But God has used me despite all that because he's taught me that even in those things, I've learned this one thing. One thing he's given me that's really helped me is this one way of common sense thinking. And really what it is this. The thought comes to me, well, this is my choice. Yeah. I can die or I can just keep going. That's the choice. Keep going. Don't want to die either. What I do? I keep going. Word. Yeah. I continue in literally what it's like with me sometimes. Those are the words I say to myself sometimes when I'm going through the hardest things. Literally, it's like, I might as well. This is the only answer. There is no other answer. In fact, there's been so many times the Lord has allowed all options for me to be taken off the table. All options. I mean, there where I come at pastoring, like I feel like I've got one worth of more week worth of then there's nothing else like that. More substance to me. Do you know how many times I feel like this? Why do I share this with you? Because this is the life of a believer. This is the difference between winning and losing. It isn't that God has made me wielding a sword. I'm not 6 foot tall. I mean, I even hate the sound of my own voice that I hear my voice. I think, is that really my voice? If somebody starts playing my voice, turn it on instantly because I hate it so bad, right? And then I think about, oh, poor you guys have to listen to it all the time. This is the Lord. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. Bigger or hair or how much muscles or whatever. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if you're Italian or not. Praise God. Or Greek in my case. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Better, but like, yeah. Well, I'm all those things, so it doesn't really mean I can talk about it, right? Is it that we're allowed to talk bad about the thing? I think that's the way the world. Praise the Lord. My point in saying this is this, that you know, it's being spirit-led isn't something that's so difficult. It's recognizing the truth as the truth and then just deciding to go on with the truth. There's times where you're tired and you can't do it anymore, so you do. Yeah. I just had to share one more example here. Get close. I'll share one more example here. I decided to rip out my bathroom, our master bathroom. I decided to rip it out. We have this project we're going to do. I held before and do it, and that's what I did. And I started tiling. And I tiled, I get the floor tiled, and that went pretty good. It was a lot of work, but I got to the place of doing the shower. Wasn't exactly I'm on the floor and realize how it was. I'm going to go ahead. And so I start at it. I start tiling my shower, and I start realizing very quickly that this is not going to be a fun thing. In fact, so much so that it was not all. It was last Friday, back wall, the long wall of the shower, you know, and then two short walls, because it's basically standard we ripped out. But I did the back wall of the tile, and I mean just put the tile up, no grout. The backer board was already up. The other was already there. No grout, just putting tiles on the wall. And it took me 5 hours to tile that one wall. I got, you know, got services, so I'm someone when I have something horrible to do, I want to get it done. So all along, I have Monday to look forward to, because Monday, I'm tiling the other two walls. Now, I have a total 13 hours tiling this shower, just the tile. I haven't grouted it. I haven't cleaned the tile yet. I haven't, haven't put the door. Nothing else, just tile up. I don't know if that's a standard for how long it takes, but I'm telling you right now, that's how long it took me. On a tile. Praise the Lord. Why did I get into this? Do you remember? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I remember. When I started Monday, and I waited to Monday purpose. I was going to try to start it on Sunday evening, and then I went in there for about 5 minutes and decided that ain't happening. Started. Monday, I knew that's what I was going to do. I knew, because I had already tiled the back wall, that this wasn't going to be any more fun. But I knew that the only way to get that shower finished, because we want our own way to get there, was just to pit. I was going to the other side. I was tired. I didn't feel like doing it. I was rejoicing. I was cutting the last piece, and then my wife reminded me I still had two more. But it was that intense, like I was rejoicing at the last piece after another 8 hours. Nothing. When I mean nothing but time, I didn't eat yesterday. I didn't stop. Maybe just, if I had to stop to go to the bathroom real quick or something like that. I mean, I didn't stop going until the end of the day. That's how it was. I just pushed through it. Sometimes, and I couldn't think of anything when I put the piece on more. And most of them, because these are the shorter walls, most of them all had to be cut. And I was having issues with the saw and all these were rising up against you. But the only way I was going to get to the other side of the wall being tiled is by pushing through it. Yeah. And folks, I'm telling you, I think pastoring has made me better at doing home projects, because that's what I do. That's the walk of faith. We aren't going to get to the other side. You have to look at it like this. When you have the obstacle before you, there is no other way through it. There isn't an easier way. Angels over it, but God will be with you, will strengthen you, He will help you if you rely on Him. And so what I did is I literally, that day, Monday morning, after I'm in the Word, I literally went at it like that. I said, Lord, you order the steps of a righteous man. I ask you to order my steps today. Lord, I'm relying on you to help me. And I'm telling you, even though it was work, even though it was hard, it went easier than any other part of the tile. There may be tiles could have done it in 20 minutes, the same thing. I don't know, but I'm just saying that it was a difficult task. For me, it was pressing on me. So we have to apply these things to life. We have to understand. We have a choice. We can opt out,
right,
or we can continue on.
Right.
But God has given us hope in the forefront. Yeah. There is hope. It may not be a perfect situation now, but it will be better later. It may not work out perfectly, be okay later. And I've been around just long enough this, that in all the tight times and all the hard times, in all of them, every single one I've ever had in life, and I've had some tough ones, every single one of them, I've seen the other side, because I kept going. I continued on. And that's what we have to do as people. If we're going to be led by the Spirit, as much as we yield to Him, His truth and His word, your flesh will say no. His word says go. That's what we do. As much as we do it. You should have seen me going through. You should have seen me going through getting myself to the point of being able to do a funeral or a wedding. All these things were things that I dreaded. Praise the Lord. And I dreaded because I wanted to bless people. Of course I want to bless people. But it was because of the process and I knew what was going to happen. Even the first times, the first year we ministered was like, there was so much awkwardness and so much, it just was to the point of sharing things with you to help you. There was so many times in that where it was just like, we're only going to be obedient to God. It's not even, we don't even want to do it anymore. We don't want to be part of it anymore. We just want to be obedient to God. And so we pressed that. And in doing so, I've been around long enough to look back and see times of trials have passed. Times of tightness have come and times of prosperity have come. And then they've gotten tight again and then they've gotten prosperous. I've been around just long enough to see this happen several times. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But this is what I know. Always brings me through. If I follow it, if I lean into His Spirit, which is through His Word, right? We saw that. I hope we saw that connection here tonight. Praise the Lord. As we lean in and draw on those things and resist the flesh, and time away flesh, praise the Lord, get through to the other side. Amen?